We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Technically, I'm sitting by, but I'm doing well.
You're
How are you?
You're sitting by this morning. That's fine. I don't need you to stand for this segment. It's
you don't? Okay, I just want to make sure. I do stand sometimes. Sometimes I do stand while I'm doing the show just to stretch my legs a little bit.
That's what okay.
Do you do that?
No, but I probably should. I walk around in breaks. I can't.
Oh, there you go. That's all right. That's good.
You know what? It's funny. For years, you know what I would love, Sal? No, so we have microphones here in the studio that are anchored to these supports in the table. I would love like a headset so I could stand, maybe walk around a little bit, like not have to sit in the chair because the microphone's anchored in. Yes, talk to engineering, see if they can get us some headsets so we could kind of stand up and be mobile, move around a little bit, get the blood going during the segments.
I'll tell you, it depends on where you sit. So if you sit over where Jeremy normally sits and where I usually sit when I'm in there.
Yeah, I'm on the other side.
I think you can do that, I think.
I'm on the door side. But, I mean, I got a little walking space around here. I'm just saying. Yeah.
All right. Well, you're all right.
I get up and
Well, next time I want to see push-ups then.
Let's not have it. I can't. Shoulder surgery. I still am
That's
not
right.
clear.
Good excuse.
Whew, that was close.
Okay. Good excuse.
So, listen, I wanted to talk to you about the Bills and expectations, Mr. Capaccio. And let's go with the topic this morning that I'm talking about. ESPN's FBI is out. Was going through it this morning. Bills are the number one team and the favorite to win Super Bowl 57. Are the Bills your Super Bowl favorite? If so, why?
Yeah, I think they are. They're certainly my AFC favorite right now. I look around the AFC, and I think that every team really has some sort of hole where I can pluck. Like, the team that I would go to first, I guess you'd say, is Kansas City. And yet I think that by not having Tyreek Hill hurts them a little bit. But I think the division has just gotten so much better. I think this is the big thing for me, because Cincinnati's right there. Cincinnati's had a really nice offseason. They've made some changes. I think they're going to protect Burrow better. Not great, maybe, but better. And I think that might be all they need. But the thing is, though, that's a tough division as well. I think what it seals it for me is, yes, the addition of Von Miller. The Bills have a really terrific roster. I mean, look, if anybody wants to say, oh, here comes Sal Capaccio being homer on the radio, look, all I have to tell you is Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus, who was on with us last week, Howard, said, look, if you basically made every single quarterback the same for every team, like one guy is the same, like all-time quarterback, the Bills have the best team. Mm-hmm. He said they have the best roster, and I agree with that. I mean, this is kind of pretty much accepted by a lot of people that they're, if not the team, right there. And I agree with that, and I think Von Miller puts them over the top. But the other thing is the division. Until somebody shows me in the division that they can kind of keep up with them, I think they're going to have a great shot at, you know, the number one seed, getting a rest and then having home field advantage, and I think that matters. So to me, they are in the AFC, and then I look over in the NFC. I wonder about the Rams. I mean, they lost Von Miller, but they're a really good team. I mean, they're just solid on offense, solid on defense. I look at the Buccaneers and Tom Brady. I wonder when, if ever, it's ever going to catch up, because, you know, those two teams should have pretty good paths, and of course Aaron Rodgers. So I think I would make the Bills the Super Bowl favorite based on everything I said. But I mean, I think it's close right there with a few teams. I would make them the favorite in the AFC because of what I said. I think I'd have to look a little examine more about the NFC teams as far as the odds and what I think their chances would be.
So based on that, the follow-up is the rest of the conference then. By the way, Sal, with us, phone lines are always open. You want to contribute on the topic? Are the Bills your Super Bowl favorite? If not, who is and why? 803-0550. If you have anything else, Bills, NFL, you'd like to bring up, by all means, give us a call. We'll hook you up with Sal. So we've established the Bills as, for you, for me, Super Bowl favorite. The last 2 years in the AFC, the gold
standard. So you agree?
Yes, I agree. There is no obvious flaw in the roster. I think your point about the division is really big. They are really, who's pushing them inside the division? The bigger issue is who you got to beat to get out of the conference to get to the Super Bowl. And they have a great, yes, go listen to the first hour on demand. So I don't want to have to regurgitate.
Sure.
But yes, I agree.
I got you.
I think they have the best roster. So
the Who's last, the threats?
The last 2 years, we weren't having this discussion. We were talking about the guy at the top is Kansas City. They're the gold standard. How do you beat them? So if the Bills are now the guy at the top, who do you think is the main threat or top threats to the Bills?
Well, look, it's still Kansas City no matter what until proven otherwise. They do have Patrick Mahomes. They do have Andy Reid. They do have still Travis Kelce, an outstanding offensive football team and a defense that can be shaky at times, can also play pretty well at times, right? We'll see. I think they kind of did some things last year to get themselves a little bit better, got a little bit better pass rush as the season went on. So I think it's still Kansas City, like just at first blush. But I do think that division matters a lot, and they're going to not be necessarily 12-5 and one away from the division for a couple of games. It could by the end of the year, but I think those teams are going to beat each other up. And then I look at Cincinnati. I do think Cincinnati is a – I mean, look, they are the defending AFC champions. They went to Kansas City and they won. They do have Joe Burrow. They do have Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, they have a solid defense and an offensive line that's – you know, going to be better. I don't know if I trust them as much.
Yeah.
I think that they could still, you know, have troubles protecting Burrow. I don't know if I necessarily, now look, he made it to a Super Bowl last year. I still don't totally, I'm not in love with their coach for this, you know, to be consistent enough to be there. I think we've seen from Sean McDermott that they've been there. They've kind of gone back. Yes, I know they haven't ultimately closed out the playoffs at the end to get to the Super Bowl. But, you know, he's done a good job of understanding how to maintain and stay on this course. There are a couple teams, I think, under the radar that I would look at here. I think the Chargers. Now, how many times have we said this, though? And the Chargers every year I'm saying this. I think we all are. But man, how can you count out Justin Herbert from what we've seen from him the last few years? And now you add Khalil Mack, and you look at that pass rush they're going to have with Bosa. And they do have really, really good players on both sides of the ball. I think the Chargers are going to be a very, very tough out this year for Kansas City in the West and overall. And I think the under-the-radar team. Now, look, I haven't touched on Tennessee. I think they are who they are. I don't see them as a huge threat, but they've won, right? And you know, I think the Bills, they'll have a chance this year to take care of them at home. Maybe they can do that. I think the under-the-radar team might be the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I really like their roster overall, getting healthy, coming back and doing what they're doing. I just have a lot of questions about how they're going to throw the ball, who they're going to get it to, where their explosive plays are going to come from outside of Lamar Jackson running the football.
Right.
You look at the injuries they have coming back. You look at already what their roster was, some of their additions in the offseason. And John Harbaugh and the organization overall, they're just always good, right? They're good at what they do. They're smart at what they do. I think they're smart in roster building. He's a good coach. So I think the Ravens are a team that's a little bit under the radar there.
Let me get to a call because this caller wants to bring that up as well. And I think that's a good team, too. I mentioned, to me, it's the Chargers. I know what you said about Kansas City, and we'll talk more about the Chiefs. I'm with you on the Chargers. I think, considering they actually haven't, you know, won a playoff game in a while, I would still say them as the main threat. But I love your point about Baltimore. I think people are kind of forgetting about the Ravens because of everything that happened last season. On that note, we'll get connected with our fans. Brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. Ron in Alden wants to echo, I think, Sal, what you just said. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is Baltimore doing? I have a few friends who live in Baltimore, and they're not happy. It doesn't seem like, and again, I'm not a Braven fan, so I don't know for sure, but it doesn't seem like they're building around their quarterback. Probably a quarterback who, you know, he's fine, he's all that, he's more, you know, obviously he's more known of a running quarterback. I don't know if that's so true anymore, but it doesn't seem like they're really building around him. It seems like they're taking away his weapons. So what weapons do Baltimore really have? And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. Look at their draft. Their draft, they went out and they did not sign. I mean, they did not draft anybody really to replace Marquise Brown, right?
Yep.
You know, they traded away Marquise Brown to the caller's point. Look, they got one of the best players in the draft, Kyle Hamilton. They always seem to get that really, they're just solid. They know what they're doing. Tyler Linderbaum, like maybe the best center, best offensive, interior offensive lineman in the draft. They get him. David Ojabo. Okay. Yeah. Might take a little while, but then they kept going on. And they have all these six fourth round picks. Here are their positions: tackle, DB, tight end, punter, tight end, cornerback. Like, they didn't draft a wide receiver at all. I think there's a question. So to the caller's point of, it seems like they're not building around their quarterback. I would say that's true that they're not building around him in the traditional way. I do think they're building around Lamar Jackson, but they're trying to accentuate his strengths of running the football, and then an explosive play here or there. Hey, you don't know what's coming. And then, I don't know, I guess they're just going to keep throwing to tight ends all day.
It is
but
funny
I agree
to
with
watch,
that. There's a flaw in the Ravens roster. Of course, it's the same flaw that I think we've seen even from the Patriots last year and going into this year. Where are you throwing the ball? Where are your explosive plays coming from?
I was surprised by the trade of Brown. I'm sure the quarterback in Baltimore was rather surprised by that, too, because it took away his most explosive weapon in the passing game. Mark Andrews is a very good tight end, but certainly you wouldn't call him an explosive weapon in the passing game. They sure look like an offense that is still running back and tight end centric, as opposed to, was it Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, James Prochet? You're not going to quake in your boots when you face the wide receivers of the Baltimore Ravens, but I think Lamar Jackson getting back to the point where he was, them being healthy at running back, being healthy in the secondary, getting Peters back, getting Humphrey back. You mentioned the drafting of Kyle Hamilton. I think, you know, Baltimore's teams were never really in the Harbaugh era, right? I wouldn't necessarily say they were great passing teams. Good offensive lines, good running teams, very strong defenses, and it feels like I think they're trying to get back to that identity. Not that they ever left it. But I do think people are ruling out Baltimore because of them kind of disappearing off the landscape last season. I think that was much more about COVID and injuries than anything about a drop in football level and talent on the
roster. So last year, obviously, they had a lot of injuries and different things happened. But if you go back, since 2016 up to 2020, not counting last year, do you realize the Ravens, every single one of those years, rank in the top 10 in points scored?
So you wouldn't have guessed that. You don't think of them as an explosive team.
I'm sorry. That's on defense. See, I'm looking at the wrong one. See,
no.
But they were three times in the top 10 in points scored and led the league 1 year a few years ago in 2019 when Lamar had his great year. So it wasn't. So every year except in 4 years straight, they were top 13 one time, top 10 all the other time. So it's still kind of the point still remains. They are better than people think. Mm-hmm. But I think it does come from the quarterback and not in a traditional sense of they have this dynamic quarterback, a lot like Josh Allen, the Bills, and how they use him. He can run. He can use his legs and things like that. Look, I actually think the Ravens and Bills are similar in this regard. I think they're building a team to try and dictate what the defense does to them and what they could do to the defense, which is, hey, we're going to put two tight ends in the field. I think the Bills are going to do this more. We're going to put two tight ends in the field. We're going to make you go big, and then we're going to have our options. The difference is, I think the Bills actually have options. They can still throw to a Stephon Diggs or a Gabriel Davis. I don't know where those options come from for the Ravens, but I do think the Ravens have a plan, which is, hey, we're going to force you into certain personnel situations on defense, and then we're going to take advantage on our side on offense on things that we can do with the guys we have.
How much do you think the Bills will be pushed in the division? Are we talking cakewalk to a division title?
No, I don't think so. That just doesn't happen in the NFL that much these days. Well,
they've gone 11-1 in the division the last 2 years, and the one loss was in a stupid weather game.
Well, but that may be true, but when did they win the division? Not till what,
late,
week 17?
Yeah, the Denver game 2 years ago, and what, was it the New England game last year?
Right, so as much as they may be doing that, they could still lose other games, and the other teams can. So against their rivals, I mean, I don't know if I'd expect 6-0, but sure, they can go 5-1. That doesn't mean they're going to wrap it up by Thanksgiving. They haven't done that the last few years, as good as they've been in the division. There are other games they have to play. They have a tough outside-the-division schedule. So, you know, as long as if Miami can just split, or if New England can just split, they just have to hang on for a while. So, do I think it's going to be a cakewalk? No. But I'd be surprised, I guess, as I sit here right now, outside of injuries and everything, Howard, I'd be surprised if we're at week 15 or 16 not going, okay, they just have to win and have one of these teams lose the next couple of weeks, right? And they're going to be fine. You just don't see the divisions getting wrapped up that early. So I think you're probably looking at they're going to do something week 16, 17, 18. Let's hope they get it wrapped up by like 16 or 17. But, you know, it'll probably go late. They'll have to wait. I mean, there are 18 games, and I think the Dolphins are improved. Dolphins don't have as daunting of a schedule as the Bills, some of the crossover games they have. I think the Bills should handle their rivals fairly, not easily necessarily, but let's say 5-2 at worst. I'm sorry, 5-1 at worst, let's say. But I don't think that means they're going to win the division by December 1st.
I'm curious, Sal. I was going through some of the questions we're going to have about the Bills when we get to camp. There's no fatal flaw or obvious, like, glaring problem. But How's Saffold going to be? Is he an upgrade? You know, Dorsey taking over as OC, Trey White's injury, who's cornerback too? There are definitely some things we'll be wondering about when camp opens up. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about coaching staff changes. Because really, I actually didn't check the numbers. But I'm going to guess this is the most turnover that McDermott's had since he came here, from season two into where he is now. There were a handful of changes on offense, on defense, special teams coordinator. Is that at all one of the questions you wonder about this team, how these guys all mesh? Or do you believe one of the strengths of Sean McDermott has been the ability to find the proper position coaches and have those guys develop young players on the roster?
Both. I think it is a strength of Sean. I think it's also a question I have, which is, how is all this going to work? I think the biggest thing is the quarterback room. But at every turn, look, here's why I'm not as concerned necessarily about the quarterback room, but it is a question, and how is it going to work? And that is, they went out and got two, you know, veterans who I think understand the dynamic and the communication and what goes in. Case Keenum, Matt Barkley, I mean, they are in that room. They're a big part of that room. No, there's no Davis Webb anymore, and there's no Shea Tierney anymore, an assistant quarterback's coach. Mm-hmm. There's no Brian Daboll anymore. But you still have Ken Dorsey. You bring in Joe Brady, who's, I think, a question mark because he's never been in with those guys yet. But then you bring in guys like Matt Barkley, who has been with Josh Allen, of course. And you bring in Case Keenum, who has been around this league. I think everybody knows their roles. And how many times did we hear Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talk about, especially McDermott, that room, how important that is to have the right people? So I'm not necessarily worried about that or concerned about it. But I do think it's something to look at and see, how is that going? Now, as far as the other positions are concerned, yeah, they brought in a couple of guys here or there. They didn't have a ton of turnover necessarily in some of the staff members. For example, you're just moving guys around, right? Like Jim Salgado goes from the nickel DB to safeties coach. That's because the safeties coach, Bobby Babich, is now coaching linebackers. Mm-hmm. So even though they have a new position coach, and that's because his dad, Bob Babich Sr., had retired. So even though they have a couple of new position coaches, these guys have been working with these guys. They know. I saw Bobby Babich at the Mike Hyde charity softball game. Right? We were just kind of talking about how, he's like, he's excited. It's a fresh new way to look at things, new perspectives. He says, but he knows these guys. Have been in defensive meetings with them for the last whatever years. Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds and guys like that. And that's what you're going to see. The guys they brought in, I think Aaron Cromer's the biggest one. Yep. And I would say there's a lot of reasons to say that's an upgrade from Bobby Johnson. I love Bobby Johnson. I think Bobby Johnson did a really good job in a lot of situations he had to deal with. But Aaron Cromer is considered one of the best, technical offensive line coaches in the league. And as Eric always says, Eric, he's a problem solver. I think that's a guy that's going to fit in pretty well in how Sean McDermott wants to operate. So, yes, Howard, I think there has to be some sort and some level of how is this all going to work. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think Sean McDermott and what he's shown and how he's brought in people and how he's onboarded people and how Brandon Bean has should get you pretty quickly to don't be worried about it until something shows you need to be worried about it.
Yeah, I would agree. I would certainly, obviously, the Bills, in almost anything, you'd probably give the Bills the benefit of the doubt these days because of the belief you'd have in McDermott and Bean and everybody else over there. All right, last thing. The Yankees are 27-9, so they're winning. Their winning percentage is .750. What would you set at the over-under for Yankees' number of wins this season?
I mean, they can't keep this pace.
No,
up.
There's
this
no,
is incredible.
I was going to say, I didn't do the math yet. Has anyone gone over .700 for a winning percentage on the season?
I think I read that was the fifth time they started as well as they did after 35 games. Mm. So I don't know what it's going to be after 40 and whatever.
Yeah.
Look, and here's the other thing. I don't think the American League is all that great.
Right.
Like, I'm looking around and every time they're playing these teams, I'm like, they have opportunity here to have a really good season. And let me just look, I know, and now that your son's there, maybe I can actually give a little bit of space here to say it. But in all honesty, Brian Cashman took a lot of hits and how he, for years now, he built the team, and especially a lot of people this year, and Josh Donaldson, and what are you doing, and IKF, why are you trading Gio Urshela? Like, I think he built a really, a very smart team here. Like, they go long, they go deep, they have the home run leader in Aaron Judge and Stan's hitting them, but they can also run the bases and play defense now, which they haven't been able to do that well the last few years. Right. And really, the key is the pitching staff coming around. So, over, under, let's see. At this point, I would say, let's say 105. Okay. 105. That would be a slowdown pace, actually.
I know, that's what I was thinking.
105 would be a really, really nice season.
Was it I'm trying to think, the most wins in Mariners had like a 116 year? Long time ago.
I just can't see that happening. Yeah. That would be incredible.
You know, if the division, we'll see. I mean, the Red Sox are bad again. The Orioles are not good.
The Rays are not as good as I thought they'd be right now.
Yeah, they're not at where they have been. And it's an interesting point about the American League outside of what? Houston and the Angels.
Right.
It might just be a whole bunch of other teams and nobody really that special in the American League.
And I think that's because of the point you just brought up. I think the Rays and Blue Jays have been a little bit underwhelming, right?
Yeah.
Like what you thought they would be.
Yep.
They're not right now. They started off like, okay, here we go. This is going to be a really three-horse race. They just haven't been as good as I thought they'd be. And, boy, you hate to see the Red Sox at 14-22, don't you? You just hate to see it, folks.
Yeah. Did you? You almost said that like it sounded like you meant it.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
No.
I don't know.
All right, Mr.
Max. Are we happy that the Red Sox are eight games under 500? Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah. He's just nodding.
Wait for Max to shout out. Bleep the Red Sox, Dad, and that would have been made for great radio.
I know exactly. I didn't want to. I intentionally didn't want to actually ask a question where he could say something like that.
How old is he right now?
He's eight.
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 All right. So that's a really important dad question. At what point in your child's development do you teach them it's okay to say bleep fill in the blank team? Eight, I think, is too young.
Oh, that word? Yeah, for sure.
Probably. He might actually bring it up to you before you bring it up to him. But I think at what age can you allow your child to yell bleep your arch rival?
But I do know that he tells me all the time that how many times he hears that at Bills games about the arrival. So he like counts and tells me after the game. Like I'm like, okay, thanks, I appreciate that, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, there's this new guy on the roster. His name is Bleepin' So and So. I just hear him call his Bleepin' Smith. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mr. C, as always. It.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.